This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone got us bagat thing now. Makes through me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them are spite me, me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike. 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 Me just a do it like Nike.
Talking Heads with Nazi is brought to you by Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, ESC Distributors Limited, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Fun Foods Wholesale, the IAAF World Relays Bahamas, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, and Tropical Gyros.
Plus me and the Cube and a link up. Rose gold for the Cube, and the rings up. From what day you may find out, certain people don't like me. Everyone talk us bag a thing now. Bex throw me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them a spite me, me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike. Me just a do it like Nike. Me just a do it like Nike. Me just a do it like Nike.
If I tell you the truth, if I were you, then me probably woulda like me neither. Fresh to the town, born again, them said the flow ungodly. My might need Jesus. Girls call cookies when my mind need reefer. Girl, when my frost, they can't style me neither. Game excellent, point blank, tell the truth. Bullets never miss the chin like a Chinese teacher. Yeah, every bad mind, pride, them is them parents.
You got it locked and loaded to the Friday, April 12th edition of Talking Heads. You're going to your company right up until 6 p.m. Got Pearly in the studio early today. Dodgers must have lost.
No, we didn't play yet.
Oh, didn't play. Must have been late tonight. Must have got that 11 o'clock game.
10 o'clock.
I knew it was something. But I got my good friend Matt Aubrey from Oregon. See you, Matt. How
great
are you?
Good to be here. Thanks so much.
Always good
glad to
see
be here.
You,
and congratulations on 12 years for
Guardian. For Guardian and 2 years with this show. So, we're doing it, man. And, you know, you're all doing your thing continually, getting the word out and always for better governance. So, you know, you always have my support in that regard.
And we appreciate it greatly. You always give us a space to talk about things that are important and going on in the community.
Man, you're one of the few people that actually, you know, makes sense when it comes to that. So I got to get you on.
Depends on the day. We're
yeah,
see
right?
Still applies late on a Friday.
But so. What we got, what does Org have going on, you know, I know you got some things coming up, obviously, but if you want to get, you know,
no, it's
court
a,
back
it,
up and refresh everybody, you know,
well, it's
what Org is really into, then we can do that too.
You have a pretty young lady in here. You didn't even, I
leave that up to Matt. Matt always brings
you know my words.
And, he was teeing me up.
Matt knows the routine, man. When he brings his team on, he makes introductions. That's how I go.
So just for those who would not know, the Organization for Responsible Governance is a Bahamian not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to promote the principles of good governance by education and engagement of our citizens and our private sector and our civil society, because when we do that, you create and foster more sustainable, more inclusive social and economic growth. So in that space, we are really excited to be here because there's a lot of wonderful and powerful things that are going on at Org. I am joined by Ariana Wells, who is an engagement manager and is doing an incredible, powerful work making sure that people understand their voices and their agency to make a difference in their communities. Org does really four things. We do policy advocacy. You'll hear, and we've talked on this show, and Naughty's talked a lot about things like freedom of information and anti-corruption and public procurement, laws that are transparent and make sure that the people's interests are reflected, and more importantly, that the people have the opportunity to understand how their money is being spent, how the decisions are being made on their behalf, so that they can make a qualified choice as to who they want to represent them, and are those folks doing a good job, maybe not doing the best job, what ideas and thoughts they have. But we know, based on things like freedom of information, which was passed in 2017 and still not enacted, that without the right active citizens, the best laws will just sit on the shelf. So we put a lot of energy into going out and doing grassroots community engagement, all across the islands, all across our communities, sitting, talking, listening to folks in the community and helping them to understand not only how does government and governance work, what their role is, but also listening to their ideas about what the solutions they might need in their community. We also create bridges for both government and the citizens and private sector to talk and listen to each other. Listening is such a critical place. So if you go online at orgbahamas.com, there's a free policy review center where folks can learn about the upcoming policies and actually give your own ideas and thoughts. As long as it's not profane, we'll share it directly with government. And finally, we realize that changing the world shouldn't be a lonely experience. So we want to make sure that we have a vibrant civil society. So we put a lot of capacity building and training and mobilizing to those other not-for-profits that are out there, the Rise Bahamas and the Lend a Hands and the One Eleuthera's and the Friends of the Environment and Families of All Murder Victims. Great work. We want to make sure that we help to lift them up so that they can be sustainable. So that's a quick breadth of who Org is and what we're doing these days.
Cool.
Now, you got something else big coming up too, right? So, young leaders. That's always what I like to hear.
So what again, you know, there is that theory that if you want to actually make change, you get to people while they're still on the vine. So focusing on the youth and helping them to be able to prepare for this particularly complex world we've left them is part of our focus. And so okay. Ariana and Stefan Evans, who we all know is our assistant director, have been working on a few really interesting projects. So, Ariana, you want to give them a quick heads up?
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for having us on the show. And Matt, thank you for that introduction. It's always so wonderful to hear you speak about the work that we do at Org, because sometimes working in engagement, I get so lost in the projects that I forget that there are so many things that's always happening at Org and things that are just super impactful to so many people. But specific to the things that we're working on and engagement at Org.
Can you tell us what engagement is?
So
when you said that, I was looking like, wait, hold on, I already need to get married.
No, so I'm at Org, and essentially my job is to work in outreach. Okay. So I reach out to citizens, communities, school outreach. We deal with, as Matt was explaining, a lot of different nonprofits. So my job is to communicate with all of them and kind of involve them in the work that we're doing at Org. And
engage
also
them.
Yes, to engage them, right? Exactly.
Okay.
But
we don't do the ceremony in the ring, but we'll do all the rest.
I got you.
Listen, don't put that on me too early now. But we have some really exciting programs running at Org right now. One of them is the Plastic Tide Turners Plastic Challenge, which is the world's largest youth-led initiative that's aimed at fighting plastic pollution. So Org is actually the implementing team for that project here in the Bahamas. And we're hosting a pitch night, which is geared towards students in grade 10 through 12, where they'll have the opportunity to pitch ideas on how they would fight plastic in their schools and communities. And they have the chance to win $500 to implement their project in their school or community. And we're actually selecting 3 winners on May 10th is the pitch night. And the deadline for submission is April 19th. So if you're in grade 10 or 12, or if you have a student or child that's in grade 10 or 12 and is interested in fighting plastic pollution in their school or community, you can have them sign up at orgbahamas.com/plasticchallenge.
Wonderful.
And this is a great opportunity to get the youth involved and give them a meaningful experience, as well as bring something tangible, cash, back to their school so that they can do a real community-based project. Nadia, I do have to apologize. We would have asked you to be on the panel, but I think that's a Joker's Wild Night. So I don't think
I made the exception. Next time, let me know.
Okay.
But a lot of people, and I like the project because I've taken a little interest. Knowing a lot of people don't understand just how plastics are affecting the environment today. One time I read there's an island in the state of Texas,
right,
in the Pacific Ocean. Well, and they've moved millions of tons already and hasn't even dented it.
So when we talk about sustainability, one of the things that we try and make that word make sense is it's about thinking long term.
Yeah.
And so when you think about kind of single-use plastics, that is the definition of a short-term need. I got to use a straw. I got to put a bag together. And while Org is not specifically an environmental organization, what we do want is the opportunity for youth to get a chance to start to be a part of this longer-term, more sustainable thinking. So The Tide Turners Initiative, which to give credit, was a program that we've seen in the Bahamas before. The Boy Scouts of America has done some work in that space. We're now made aware. But it's being used across the Caribbean. It's being used across the world. Everyone is following this thing. And so this gives our youth here a chance to also see that they could be part of something global.
Okay.
And that's powerful.
It is. Sure is.
So any other events lined up? I know you got the young leaders, which is important, which is good, and developing those guys, but any other org-related initiatives?
So we haven't left the Youth Corner quite yet, because we actually have a new initiative that's working in the space of what we are calling as, citizen awareness is really the central theme.
So we're working on a toolkit that's called Be Clear Bahamas. And essentially what this toolkit is going to do is help to build capacity for young people to make decisions. And essentially we're helping students to understand the principles of transparency and ethics and accountability. And we're running this program now over the course of 10 weeks with the Leadership Academy. Through 12 will take part in understanding all of these different principles, and then they will assess a budget that was put together by the New Providence Ecology Park.
Okay.
And they will make recommendations based on that budget.
Interesting. Okay.
What we know is that where rubber meets the road is where money is. And,
of course.
And we also know that climate change is something that particularly kids in the Bahamas are going to have to deal with for a long time.
Yes.
So giving them the tools is crucial. If you want somebody to win at a game, they need to know the rules. They need to know how they can play. They need to know all of that. So this project, which is really the first of its kind here in the Bahamas, is giving our youth a chance to get on the board early so that they can start to understand, hey, when we hear those elected officials talking about blank, 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 how is that going to play out? If we want to see that there's investment in adapting to climate change, then we need to know what are the basic ways you can find out that information. So this is exciting. And we're going to be learning along with the kids because it's the first time it's been done in the Bahamas.
I would think so. And considering that a lot of times the politicians use these words, transparency, accountability, the book definition or the dictionary definition of it, it somewhat has a different political definition. Mm-hmm. And it's good to teach these kids the understanding so they can hold not only their politicians but others accountable and transparent in what's happening. Because at the end of the day, it affects them in the long run.
It does, and that's fundamentally why we do citizen engagement. Because what we've known is from independence to now, that civic muscle, right, mm-hmm. has started to decline a bit. We haven't been to the gym as much as we need to.
Yeah, that's right? True. Yeah.
So giving folks a chance to see how their roles, their voices can make a difference and they can be empowered through information is really crucial. And we do it with our youth. We do it with our folks in the community. We do it with marginalized communities. We also do it with our civil society organizations. Wonderful. And that's another area that we're about to get underway very shortly. We've been able to be supported by the Bahamas Protected Areas Fund, as well as the Global Environment Fund, to do a specific level of training for not-for-profit organizations that are working in the environmental space, that are working towards climate change adaptation, that are working towards disaster risk management or preparation. All of these folks that are so on the line and need and have crucial roles to play, we're going to be providing training over the next 7 to 8 months on things like fundraising and advocacy and how you manage your budgets, how you develop your organizational structure, project management, all kinds of monitoring and evaluation to be sustainable. But among all of it, we're going to have this ongoing conversation about how do we collaborate?
Okay.
How do we partner? Because that's really the opportunity that I think sits in front of us for all of our organizations. If they can work better together, they can work better together with government. They can work better together with the private sector. They can have a bigger impact on their mission.
Amen. Exactly. Makes sense.
So those are some of the top line work that we're doing. We always continue to keep things like freedom of information at the forefront.
That's still a big crime. I mean, every day on a daily, I get texts in one way or another related to lack of information being put out by this administration or information that's put out that people want to fact check, for lack of a better word,
right,
want to follow up on, and yeah, now it's hard. Yeah. Well, and that's still a big, huge crime, Matt.
And what's so interesting is freedom of information, which obviously it should be Bahamians' rights since 2017, is it brings a lot of opportunities. It does and should give you the capacity to be able to get information on issues you care about, on things that you might be concerned about, to clarify if something is valid or not valid. But what we also see is that freedom of information increases people's confidence in the system. It encourages them to get involved because they feel like the system can work for me. It also helps businesses and small businessmen folk or business folks to feel more confident that, hey, maybe I'm going to make an investment and take my little side gig and make it a real thing. Right. Because I feel like, you know what, there are government opportunities that I could bid for, that it's not going to be about who you know. It's going to be about what you bring to the table and your ideas and your merit, I guess, as they say.
Yeah.
So we really keep pressing this issue, and we see a lot of interest out there. When we're in the community, man, I'm at the grocery store, the pharmacy, in the parking lot, somebody's always coming up to me and saying, hey, keep fighting for that. That freedom of information is something we think ultimately what we're going to see is hopefully people start to talk to those people they would have elected and let them know, hey, we want to see this prioritized in the legislative agenda. We want to see this in our budget in the coming year so that there's sufficient amount to be able to make it come to fruition. Because when we have it, not only are citizens going to be better informed, but government, as they make their decisions, is also going to be thinking, hey, I got to make sure that this decision holds up in the light of day.
Gotcha.
That's why, you know, we've been waiting for a long time that we've heard things like, and not too far to the realm of imagination or memory, this administration. We look back in the House, we look at the Hedgin situation. There was multiple stories
BPL,
on that.
BPL, yeah.
We still haven't got a concrete answer on Bermuda Gate. We still haven't got a concrete answer on the travel budget as to why the entourages are so big, so on and so forth. These are everyday questions people want to know. So I have to reiterate, Matt, I mean, please do not stop. We need a Freedom of Information Act.
We're pushing forward and we're reaching out to all of our civil society partners, those chambers of commerce in the community, and we're encouraging them to also talk to their audiences and say, the most direct way to deal with this is you go ahead and let the folks know that you've elected that this is something you want. In the Westminster system, in a democratic system, public will is really designed to drive political will. And so we ought to make sure that that's the mechanism we're doing. And this is this administration, the last administration, the administration before that. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of folks who have not necessarily moved this forward. We've seen movement forward. We've heard statements of indicating that it will happen within the next 2 years. We're super excited, but we need to make sure that we keep up our push on this and we let folks know that this is something that the Bahamian people would like and need in their legislative setup.
All right, let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking heads.
Yeah, blessing all the panel, Matt Pearly.
Hey, bro.
What's going on, 52?
You know, I wanted to lean on something Pearly had mentioned about the plastics, right? You know, the thing is, they have been linked to anti-gonadotrophic effects, sperm counts, et cetera, et cetera. And so they know about the bisphenol A, bisphenol B. And it's a farce of the recycling because not all of them can be recycled, right? So maybe I was saying, Matt, if the students can do the study to find out the leachability, because I mean, in certain chemicals, we could find out that if you how much chemicals is released with reused bottles when exposed to sunlight, et cetera, et cetera. We haven't done anything. And so, a question to Matt and the rest. The thing is, you said an environmental organization for responsible government, but I'm saying with the overwhelming use of plausible deniability in governments, right? And the lack of data on anything environmentally sound enthusiast. You cannot get information. The things that I could conceive that I... All right, my level of consciousness, it is sickening for me because I know what is not being done.
Mm-hmm.
So we should discuss what isn't in the news. You see, because I'm looking at... Or even me with my little pea little brain, right? I can see that there's overdevelopment in Nassau and there's need for decentralization, even if from an environmental standpoint... But I'm not hearing the environmentalists cry out. How many more subdivisions can Nassau take when we're frying all around talking about climate change? And except, I mean, how much more development can we take for 7x21 Island? We're about to develop our own micro weather systems because it seems to me they can't conceive that the concept of overdevelopment. And you live in Nassau, you're born, you know, you live your 60 years coming up, and you see the overdevelopment, but nobody seems concerned. And I wouldn't even talk about freedom of the information because, I mean, most people wouldn't read it anyhow, but it's still there for those who want to read it. You know, but plausible deniability seems to be their tactic. And obviously, somebody asked, what's the point if there's no consequences of lying to the Bahamian people when it's blatant and clear and overt?
And I think you asked a lot in that question. So to start with where you started, this project is really about helping kids to start getting involved. And ultimately the hope is that leads to them thinking in the way that you're thinking. What does this mean? What are the real circumstances? How do I get that information? How do I make solutions that are based on the facts we have, but also help us to sustain the kind of progress that's maybe been made? The good news, I will say, is that there are some incredibly dedicated environmentalists, particularly in the not-for-profit sector, that are working on a lot of these issues, whether they be BRIEF or they be the BNT or whether they be ReEarth or Friends of the Environment Institute. We've got the CAPA Luther Institute, and all of those folks and more folks in UB are working to understand this. The environment is not as you point out, is not as easy for them to get access to information. It's not as easy to do the research as we need to be. But we know that crucially, if those corals and those mangroves go, we're in a much, much worse space than we would ever hope. So our real goal is, how do we fix the immediate issues? Our solution, we think, is to start and look at the long-term sustainable solutions. And in doing so, that's why we're reaching out and connecting with youth at this level. But hopefully they understand and start to see from your advocacy, some of the other information that's out there, that this can't just sit as it is now and it has to be changed.
Early. You got anything that comes to mind that pops up?
No, I... Hold on. This guy says it all in you.
Yeah, no, I just... I see you. Know, I know you might have one or two.
No, I was fascinated by it. I'm anxious to find out how the two programs go, because I'm always interested in knowing that we try to teach youth and get youth more involved. As a person who watches politics, not enough young people are being involved. And I think it's not because their interest... I think their interest is not there because they don't care to understand or don't understand, and for lack of a better terminology, how the game is played. So I think it's admirable, particularly the second program where you're teaching them. I think that's good, and hopefully we'll get more. So I'd like to know how it turns out after the end of the period.
Well, I'll be sure to keep you updated. But I have to say, the beautiful thing about the Plastic Tide Turners initiative is that it came equipped with a toolkit that we then took and adapted into a presentation that we went around to different schools and delivered to the kids.
Wonderful.
So we were able to teach them about the effects that single-use plastics are actually having on us as a country.
Yeah.
And we also had this activity where we audited our plastic footprints. So the kids got to actually see, well, how often am I using a straw or a plastic cup on a daily basis or on a weekly basis? And they were able to really understand, like, hey, this is something that's a part of my everyday life. And this is something that doesn't necessarily need to be, because there are other options.
Yes. And I think when the country went non-plastic, I think a lot of people opposed to it, because they didn't understand what it was all about. It was more of an inconvenience to them than anything else. And I think by educating and showing people why we're doing this, and I tell every opportunity I get, I tell people about this island of plastic that's bigger than the state of Texas.
Right, right. And that's the circumstances we see. One principal belief that org has is that consultation is important. And not just being asked after the fact, but talking to folks earlier on, like at a formative stage. So we see a couple of different initiatives that have been put forward that are really, you know, important things. The plastics ban was pushed by some folks we know and really a dedicated thing. But the work ahead of time to get folks to understand, to buy in, to feel like this is part of their solution, is something that we see critically across the board. We see it with pieces of policy.
Yeah.
We see it with new developments or programs. The more folks are brought in, the people who are going to be most affected, the earlier, the more that government can make decisions with the right information, the more people have a confidence that a policy or a program that's put forward is and that they buy into. And you see greater things like paying your taxes and more compliance and people adhering to, you know, more environmental laws, things like that. So part of the process here is bringing this to kids at a stage where they're going to see it, own some work on it, and then hopefully move forward on doing more advocacy and substantial change.
Okay. Super. Super duper.
Now, how can folks, I got a couple of texts coming in here, Matt, about joining org, or how can they get org if they want to stay, you know, newsletters or updates, emails, monthly correspondence, so on and so forth.
So folks can follow us on social media. You can check us out at Org Bahamas on Facebook, as well as on LinkedIn, as well as on Instagram, I think even Twitter. And you can check us out on our website, which is orgbahamas.com, where you can sign up, join. So make sure you get our monthly newsletter, get all the information as it comes out, find out about new opportunities for you to get involved in programs like the ones that Ariana described. If you're old school like me and you want to give us a call, you can do that too. So you can call us at 323-0041. We'd love to hear from you. Just to speak again, Org Bahamas is a not-for-profit. We are dependent upon the support of volunteers, the support of donors. We actually have an online campaign going on right now. And today, if anybody wants to go on to orgbahamas.com and donate, your gifts, if you make it online, will be matched up to $50 today by Global Giving. So we've been doing a real push to make sure. And that those funds go directly to support the kind of empowerment programs that Ariana and Stefan have been pushing out in our programs, okay. in our communities, rather.
Okay.
Naughty, great show as usual. Please let Matt know the Freedom of Information Act will never happen. It's counterproductive for politicians.
So I agree. I agree with that statement. If you leave it to politicians, then absolutely. I mean, that act is going to have a harder implication on those in government than it necessarily will on the public. But the interest in the public has got to be stated. It's got to be specific. If it's a matter of they will never let it happen, then you're forgetting that there's power in the people. And you can absolutely make it happen. I had an amazing experience talking to someone who was part of the India Right to Information movement. And think about, you know, we're 400,000. They're so many more than that in so many different places. And they have an active and vibrant right to access to information law. It came not from the hoity-toity elites. Didn't come from the intellectuals. It didn't come from an organized business community. It came from those people that are the poorest in India. And when you talk about poor in India, that's a whole other level of poor. And I had a chance to talk to some of the folks, and their whole principle was, hey, it's our money, so we should know how it's being spent.
Yes.
It's our, and if you think about that for our own selves, if you gave your child, your partner, your spouse a couple of bucks or $20 to go to the store and get a thing of bread, and they came back with no money left, no receipt, maybe not even the bread, you'd have some questions.
Yes.
Well, the monies that you're paying for taxes are much more than what it costs for a loaf of bread. So if we think about it, this is your information, but it's also your issue. If you want this to happen, absolutely, you have the power to make it happen.
Exactly.
All right, Matt. You know, I always got to give you a rough one. I always got to give you a curveball here and there. All right. And we got a call that's coming to you real quick, caller. Naughty, who or what gave Org the authority to do the work that it's doing? Where did Matt Aubrey come from? Who gives him and his team their mandate? Or better yet, who funds Org?
So Org is as a not-for-profit.
Before you get into that.
Yes.
Mr. Mitchell, are you listening to the show on the down low again? Go ahead, Matt.
No, it's an important question. Org as a not-for-profit is funded by a few different sources, primarily its foundations and primarily local foundations. So things that have been established to achieve a certain purpose. We do get some funds from individuals and some funds from local corporations. The work that we do is very direct related to the funds that we get. There's no political connections or ties in our org or our board or any of our structures. We're really specific about the monies that we get. We try and vet that. You actually can check out on orgbahamas.com if you want to see our most recent financials and our financial plan. All that information is there. We're driven by a volunteer board, like every registered not-for-profit. You can also find out who our board members are. We're super proud. Galen Saunders, is our chair right now and driving our.
Well, there you go, man. That's good people right there. Right?
He's very good people.
Got me started in the business
very years
ago, man. Yeah.
Very good friend.
And not a Miami Dolphin aficionado.
I say good man, right? I did say that. Come on.
I'm gonna let Galen talk about his football choices on his own, but we are a team of five folks. It's myself and Stefan and Ariana, Vanessa, and we're actually getting some support from Ashley Roy. In Grand Bahama, so we're not even located just solely in Nassau. We were started 8 years ago when there was a need to push for freedom of information and fiscal responsibility once the VAT initiative was passed. And so we started at that point, and it's been 8 years of continuing to grow that work. We have the same, responsibility as every not-for-profit. So we got to make sure that if government wants to look at our books, they can look at our books. We have to make sure that we're well-run and managed appropriately. We have bylaws and policies that drive what we do to ensure that there's no conflict of interest or that we're not politically driven or favoring one party versus the other. And more importantly, we bind ourselves to values that say we believe that we want to focus on things that are actionable, not aspirational. We want to focus and spend our time on things that can and will happen. We want to make sure that things that we work on are consensus-based. It doesn't make sense that one group can say we have the answers for all. The things we talk about are based on research and means-tested, things that not only work globally, but things that work locally. So when we benchmark a law or we put forward information, we're drawing on things that folks around us are telling us. We're using their ideas, their thoughts to be able to mobilize folks around these issues. Our playbook is pretty much the same across the board. We talk about the importance of transparency, accountability, integrity, and involvement of citizens, the private sector, and civil society. Because when they're involved, then they not only counterbalance, but more importantly, they complement what government brings to the table. Even government, to its own point, says they can't do it all. So we have to help people to find their voices, find their strengths, figure out how they can get involved in a meaningful way, and then come together with solutions that all of us can believe in.
Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads. Talking Heads. All right, Carl, if you want to hold too long, you can call us back. I get really biggity with these calls, you know. We put you on hold for a reason. I don't mean we come to you right away. Sometimes you got to hold and listen.
I keep telling them, be a little wordy. Give us a break. We can get there.
My goodness.
They made it run out of minutes, though.
Yeah, for real.
Okay.
But we'll give them a chance to chime back on it.
Yeah, she wants to burst in laughter so bad. She's like, all of it.
No,
but then you work with a comedian. From Jokers, it kind of rubs off every so often. You know?
No, it doesn't, because I heard the one I attempted today, and I was like,
"No, there's funny."
No, don't tell me, don't claim me that I taught you them jokes.
No. But as long as Matt laughs, I feel pretty good, you know.
Matt will laugh at anything, man. He's a diplomat. He knows how to deal with things, man. Make friends and influence people. But Matt, like I said, we got to get to the break. But I appreciate you stopping by as always. You know,
thank
me, Gus has two cars, so whatever else you gotta get out there. Let us know. And the last time you guys were here, I said we got to make it a plan to get you at least once a month, twice a month, so you guys get in and chop it up.
Well, I want to make a shameless plug. I do have Thursdays alone, so we can link up
always.
At least once in a blue moon,
And see now I got that call from an old colleague from Shirley Street. We'd already lined that up. I was like, all right, let's make it happen.
We are always.
So I'm sure that lets you know.
Yes, and it's not just me. We got a talented team, and they all have stuff to say and add in their own right. So we will make it a once a month piece.
It's always good to talk about.
Anytime you want us on a Thursday, Pearly, we are always there.
There you go, buddy. There you go.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
All right, man. We're going to get to the break. We appreciate you stopping by, man.
Thank you.
And as always, and I appreciate you guys, doing what you do. And let's keep fighting for that Freedom of Information Act, man.
Absolutely.
Sleeves done beyond, bro. I already take it off and get down to the wife beater, Let's go. Let's make it happen.
Well, and that's the one thing I also want to just say while we're here is you have created spaces where you get a lot more variety of discussion. You get people that are coming from different sides. You're hearing different sides of the parties. That's really important. I think we don't see enough opportunities where people feel comfortable to put forward their ideas. The whole key, what we want to do is make sure that there are now spaces where those ideas can actually contribute to something that moves forward.
Amen. There you go. Good stuff, Amen. Man.
Superstar. Thank you.
Always appreciate you all stopping by. All right, let's get to the break. Mr. Producer, flip side of the break, we'll go to the news. Flip side of the news, Pearly and I'll be talking sports in the 5 o'clock hour. Keep it right where you got it. The Friday, April 12th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Amen.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Enjoy the flavors of summer with a mega-sized KFC combo and get a secret code for a chance to win. KFC and Pepsi is giving away daily beach bundles of a KFC bag packed with KFC shades, a bucket of 25 KFC whole wings, and a 2-liter Pepsi, plus a weekly cash prize of $1,000. Whether it's original recipe, spicy, or barbecue, get your favorite KFC combo today and mega-size your summer fun. KFC Nassau, it's mega finger-licking good.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Nice to meet you, Jazz. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an independent 27-year-old manager who wants her own home with her own rules.
Sounds good. I'll help you get there.
We see you, the go-getter, with big plans, and we've been keeping you in mind. Follow your goal home with a mortgage from CIBC Caribbean, and don't bother about your home insurance, as we'll help with that and more. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/inspired home for more info. Conditions apply.
Bring your family, bring your friends, bring your gal. Come witness history in the making at the 2024 World Athletic Relays Chase the Sun, Paradise to Paris, happening here in Nassau, Bahamas. Hundreds of the best runners from more than 40 countries will compete for their place in the 2024 Paris Olympics, May 4th and 5th at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets early at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Attention ice cream lovers! Are you ready to elevate your springtime indulgence and taste of luxury with Häagen-Dazs? For a limited time only, treat yourself to the quality of Häagen-Dazs ice cream for just $8.99 per pint. Yes, you heard that right. Indulge in the finest flavors without breaking the bank. This exclusive offer is available at all Lickety Split and Super Value locations. Experience the premium quality of Häagen-Dazs at an unbeatable price. Spring has never tasted this good.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Talking Heads with Nati is brought to you by Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, ESC Distributors Limited, Fine Threads, First Care B&B Bank, Fun Foods Wholesale, the IAAF World Relays Bahamas, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, and Tropical Gyros.
I gotcha on the Friday, April 12th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty in your company, along with Pearly Early Pearl, right up until 6 p.m. Talking sports this hour. Lots of sports to talk about going into the weekend, Pearly.
Lots. Masters started yesterday.
Yeah, man. Let me get today in sports history out of the way. All brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. Don't forget, happy hour going on at Naughty Johnny's right now, 5 to 7 p.m. Definitely want to check that out. Well worth the trip out there to the Old Fort Shopping Plaza.
I can make it.
Yeah, you. I know you can make
it. Food, my brother.
And on this day, not much happened on April 12th. 1877, a catcher's mask was used in a baseball game for the first time by James Alexander Ting. 2004, the Philadelphia Phillies played their first game at Citizens Bank Park. Caller, I see you. We'll get to you in a second. 2004, Barry Bonds of the Giants, San Francisco Giants, hit his 660th home run to tie Willie Mays for third on baseball's all-time career list.
Okay.
2007, the Dallas Stars and Vancouver Canucks played 138 minutes and 6 seconds before the Canucks were able to score an overtime goal and win the game.
You know, they're originally known as the Minnesota North Stars.
Correct. It was the sixth longest game in NHL history. Sports quote of the day, before you can win a game, you have to not lose it. Not to lose it. Chuck Knoll, ex-Pittsburgh Steelers head coach, four-time Super Bowl champ. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty, what's up, Pearly?
Hey, what's going on, Mystery?
Hey, bro.
Everything is beautiful, man. Hey, Pearly.
Yes, sir.
So your boy Otani is now considered vindicated, eh?
Well, the federal government, the FBI vindicated him. Not me, not you, the FBI. So, yeah, I think he's vindicated.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I didn't say you vindicated him.
I heard a tone of sarcasm in your voice.
I'm calling you to clear you.
Okay, good. Good man.
You're cleared. You can't vindicate him. I can't vindicate him.
That's true.
But what I find so strange, though,
mm-hmm.
I think it was $6 million this boy stole from him.
$16 million.
$16 million. That is unbelievable. How could... He got a lot of money.
I had a brother make $70 million a year from the Dodgers. That's not his endorsements. He's good for over $100 million a year.
$127 million.
There you go. Okay.
$127. That is unbelievable, though.
There you go.
And then he was betting, but he wasn't betting on baseball.
Well, yeah, he doesn't bet on... I think he didn't bet on sports or not on baseball for sure.
he can do some time.
Yeah, he said a statement said, "Oh, my life is done. I'm done." So, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Well, you try to trust people and you try to work with them and they take advantage of your trust.
He got to put some people in place to prevent that. That's been done.
He has a business advisor. He has a security team that has shored this up.
Yeah, but he needs someone to watch the business advisor now.
Yeah, that little young wife he got there, she's sharp. Sharp as a tack.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing, though.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know what? And, you know, it's amazing. You come into America, the language barrier, people don't really understand how much that is. So everything you look at on the computer, everything is in English. Everything.
Yeah.
So you trusting this guy to do things. So, you know, I let him say, transfer this money to my wife's account, transfer this money to mom's account. So he's done that for you a couple of times. He got your PIN number. And he start transferring for himself, and you're not paying. Yeah. You're not paying attention to that like that.
Yeah, and he ain't making yen now. He making that Yankee currency.
Yeah, so he ain't paying attention to it like that. And so when you come down to it,
making that big money.
Yeah. So I mean, it's I'm not making an excuse for him. It's dumb to allow that to happen. You know, you got that kind of money. You should have put the things in place. But at times, you come to trust people who guide you like that. So.
Yeah, but making that kind of money could cause people to lose focus. You know.
Yeah, he's learned. Not on the field though. He's been hitting the cover off the ball. And I guess since he may have found out a few days ago that he's been vindicated, so you can see there's a sense of relief off him. He's looser, the Dodgers do a bunch of play around and stuff, and he's laughing a lot more and all that. So I think he's relieved. I think the pressure's off his shoulder. You only can start seeing greater and better things.
So why is it that he's not going to play for a year?
He's not going to pitch. He had surgery on his shoulder. He's playing. He's batting. He's playing DH.
Huh?
He's playing DH.
Okay.
So he's playing DH. He's going to play a little outfield later in the season, and then he'll be back on the mound next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, gents. You all have a good one. That's all. I'll call you all on.
All right, mister. You have a good weekend, man.
All right, you too.
Be safe, bro. All right, Pearly. Let's slide, into the local scene. Brought to you, of course, by Burger King Nassau. Sack takes charge at Nationals. Sack takes charge at Nationals.
That's all right. Good stuff, man.
Big Red Machine lead 5 of the 8 divisions.
It's just normal.
Oh, you're that
probably
guy.
Probably win 6.
You are that guy. Good article on Devin Charlton in today's Guardian. Devin, yes. Master of her feet, fate, and soul.
Yep. She can get that $50,000. She's going to get that 50 grand.
And the championships are set for the New Providence Volleyball Association.
Okay.
The undefeated Caribbean Gas Panthers will go after a 4th straight New Providence Volleyball Association women's title when the NPVA Championship Series gets underway at 3:30 p.m. at the D.W. Davis Gymnasium on Sunday. So game one on Sunday.
All right. Okay.
And got a full schedule of baseball going on over the weekend as well.
Okay.
Soccer as well. So be sure to get out there and support these youngsters doing their thing.
Yeah, man. You know, tomorrow morning my grandson is playing. He goes to Tambly and they're playing kick soccer tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Well, that's what you could do in soccer is kick it. If you touch it, it's a problem.
I'm going to go and watch my grandson play.
There you go. All right.
Taylor's going to represent Grandpa.
Taylor's going to be like, oh, Jesus, why are you hearing on the sideline like that? Why doesn't he stop?
You know.
I know how it is. Let's go to the phone line. Talking heads.
What's up, Paulie Naughty? How y'all doing?
Hey, what's going on, St. Pete? What's going on?
What's up, kid?
What's up? It's a Friday evening.
And you're on the bridge.
I'm tired of working.
Are you going to Orlando?
I'm in the Berg, man. Hey, did Tiger make the cut, man?
No, he got, I don't know if he's played the second round yet. I think he's in the middle of the second round right now.
Well, yo, a lot of people be hating on him, boy, but you know, anytime Tiger make the cut and he play on the weekend, the ratings go up, you know what I'm saying? If Tiger make the cut, normal people who don't watch. The ratings goes up, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I don't know why crazy, man.
Well, he's one over, so he would make the cut of it.
Yeah,
he would make the cut because he's one over right now. And the leader's seven under.
Man, that brother fought so many young people to take up golf, man, you know what I'm saying? And then even, like I said, sometimes just for his appearance, he get more money than some of the guys who may even make the cut, you know what I'm saying? He get, they pay him like $1 million just a parent fee sometimes.
Yeah, He's doing all right, you know, considering where Tiger is and the injuries come from. He was one over yesterday. He was even par today. So I think he makes the cut because that's the only puts. I think the cut is 10. So I think he's going to be fine. I would put my head on the block and say he's made the cut. It'll be good to see him play all weekend. So people want to see him play, you know.
Yeah.
And ESPN followed all 18 of his the whole 18 rounds that he played.
Those networks, they love when Tiger made the cut, man, because you know their ratings goes up too. You know what I'm saying? But you know, ready for this player,
well,
man.
Just to say it, I just pulled it up. Woods is to set new Masters record with 24th straight made cut.
Wow.
He's tied for 25th. Wow, he's tied for 25th, but he's made the cut 24 straight years at the Masters. So. And the Masters is the creme de la creme of any golf tournament.
Boy, look at anything could happen over the weekend. Now he could be, you know, if he played good golf, he could be up there, boy.
Yeah. It's a great sport. Love
but
it.
Ready for this playoff, man. You know, ready for this play-in, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know that. You know, it's interesting.
Well, let me just go ahead right about now and said I told you all so, and I told you all this where the Lakers was going to be. But anyway, go ahead.
But you know, I want to see what the Heat can do. All your Heat fans, y'all suck, man. I want to start a Friday war.
Man, don't get them sheetheads started.
Mystery, they're already calling. Don't let Muff.
Muff can come for you now. Muff can call in short order.
Come on, Muff. Yeah, God. Mystery. Y'all suck. You and Muff, y'all suck.
Boy, look here.
All right, man. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right,
you too, safe. Be safe. Enjoy your weekend, man.
Send me a call. Give me a case of
Coke
and
lick,
man.
All right, go to the airport.
But, yeah, I mean.
Well, the Heat in eighth place. But, I mean, let's go to you really want cuss out. And even so, I mean, it is what it is. They're going to be in a play-in game. Which one, we don't know yet.
For the third time in six years.
So that happens. That happens, all right? That is happening.
And you and I both know that's not Laker basketball.
Yeah, but...
When Lakers are playing for a championship, with the first, second, or third seed.
But the problem is, ain't LeBron. Is everybody. Is the front office. Is all that. You got people in the Laker organization right now who want to trade LeBron, trade AD, and free up some draft picks, free up some cap space and do it. But the big boys don't want to do it.
They need to do it.
But they don't want to do it.
Anyway,
all right. I bet you or I say that, you know, but it's not all LeBron. Because, come on, it's not all him. AD has not been there when you need him. Yeah, you made the front office made some bad moves. You need.
Just like I said, the 6-year incarnation that he's going to be here, we haven't done anything.
It's easy to blame him. It's easy to blame him because that's the scapegoat.
To blame him. I want to. You forget, 6 years ago, I said this was going to happen.
I'm not disputing
that. I didn't just jump up yesterday and say this.
I'm not disputing that, but it's still not him. Only alone. And that's it. I don't want him there. Let's get that straight.
His error, and this is his error. You got to own it because he's the face. Maybe front office doing fool. Maybe, you know, other players doing fool. Maybe he did fool trying to be a GM in Costas. There are a lot of mitigating factors. Well, but he's got to own it.
No, I think the team got to own it because we even might have made a mistake in hiring the coach we hired.
Hey.
Come on. So, you know. What would we be saying right now if he was in the championship?
But we're not.
What would you have been saying if he's in the championship?
I'd be quiet because you ought to be saying, noise.
So the point is,
we're in the play-in, like I said we were going to be, I'm going to run my mouth.
Yeah, but the bottom line, too, is what you had used to seeing in the Lakers is what you got last year. Western Conference Finals.
Hold on.
You got the Western Conference Finals.
Pearly,
no matter
stop.
How they got there, did they or did not they play in the Western Conference Finals last
year? Now, I won't allow you to do it because I won't let you discredit yourself by doing it.
In which way?
You and I both know, and you are longer Laker than me. Lakers don't need no bubble thing to play in, back against the wall to the championship,
to
the conference finals. We're perennially, from Mike and Time to the Magic era and Kareem era to the Shaq and Kobe era.
To be honest, see, you leave an era out. The Eddie Jones era.
Well, Eddie Jones era. But even though that era.
But it was worse than this era because we was Lotto team then.
No. Stop. On the Eddie Jones, Shaq era then, we were second and third seed. We just couldn't
get in. No. We were Lotto team prior to Eddie Jones. Eddie Jones was a Lotto pick.
Yeah, I'm saying that. That was after the blow up.
No, we still were a Lotto team. Okay? All I'm saying is, I'm not disputing what your
and we need to go back to being a Lotto team now. Jettison LeBron, jettison AD, keep the youth movement, and get the picks and the money.
Listen to me carefully. Listen to me very carefully. I understand everything you say, and I agree with you. But I'm gonna be real. And again, the point on I'm trying to raise is, we're used to seeing the Lakers in the Western Conference Final, in the NBA Finals.
As one of the top seeds.
It doesn't matter. We just, no, you see, you're putting the caveat there.
I'm not putting the caveat. Look back in the history of time.
We have come from second or third and made it to the Western Conference Final. We've come from not having the best record in the NBA. And
let me ask you this question. As a longtime Laker fan, have you not seen it perennially, more times than not, when we do make a playoff run, it is from the 1, 2, or 3 seed because we have qualified, we've won a division, and we've been in the playoffs ahead of time. We know that we are there.
As a longtime Laker fan, I've seen it all. I've seen when Bill Walton embarrassed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I've seen when we didn't make the playoffs in the 70s.
When Bill Walton embarrassed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
In the 78 Portland Trailblazers. See, I think
78 Portland Trailblazers that one young Bahamian Michael Sweet Bells Thompson was the big guy on.
It doesn't matter.
The Walton piggybacked off of a little bit.
It doesn't matter. What I'm saying is, I'm used to this. I've been there when my Lakers were nothing. I've seen the ebb and flow, the valley and the hills of the Lakers. I'm seeing that.
So in a roundabout way, you've seen them qualify from the 1, 2, and 3 spot.
I'm not qualified.
But more importantly,
I don't check the numbers, and I'll go back and check the numbers to see how many times. But
the coming and off the bubble and off the play and play is not like a basketball, whether you want to admit it or not.
Yeah, whether it is or not, we did make it to the best in conference.
All right, let's go to the phone.
That's all that matters.
Let's go to the phone lines. Talking heads.
Hey, look here, man. That's in Petersburg. Talk about how the Marlins beat up on the Yankees. I want him.
Now I can cut you. I was going to let you run on, but now I can cut you.
To the Heat, tell him talk about how the Marlins beat up on the Yankees.
Muff was so happy to call yesterday to talk about that.
And then tell him the 8th seed is Phil Ian and the 10th seed. Hey, but look here. Juicy Lightway. The Lakers in Golden State. Boy, and that tip.
One and done. I really get to talk, Muff.
Yes, boy. You ain't lying, boy. Well, anyway, we on the road. We going to Philly. We playing bad on the road. And being back or not, we going to mash them up Tuesday night. Because we're going to beat Toronto these last two games.
Buddy, don't shoot your eye out in that one.
Hey, buddy, off, man.
Muff, I can tell you this,
man. Buddy, off.
I can tell you this. You don't. Y'all don't want to play the Sixers.
Hey,
nobody wants to play the Sixers right now.
Maxi getting all stupid. Embiid, Harris has come back. And that baby, what the baby name with the bushy with the afro? With the left hand who said them 3 points.
Jacquez?
Huh?
Jaime Jacquez or whatever his name is?
No, man. The next one who played for the Sixers. So with the afro, man, the boy said all the trees and then slammed down and everything.
Maxi? Maxi?
Not Maxi. Maxi got the roots, man. The next one with the afro. Over Joby? My boy was playing for the Sixers, man, with the afro. So okay. He started to.
Who, Oubre?
Yes, him. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to remember, Oubre. Yeah, he getting all this stupid too with the Sixers, too. We got to watch it for him. Yeah. But then anyway, we can beat them. Don't worry.
You see
Boston how they play last night? That's how they can play all through the playoffs. Don't mind that. They let that 60-something games get to the end. This is the start of our journey from now to the final. Okay. Y'all have a nice afternoon.
Yeah, and don't call it this is my Yankees no more either. Have a nice day. Talking heads.
That's my job.
Correct. Talking heads. All right, Crawley, you can hit us back, man. But I tell you, boy, y'all don't like being on hold, boy. Y'all want me to answer y'all right away. But anyway, let me look at the Western Conference standings.
Okay, you keep ducking baseball, but anyway.
No, we can get the baseball now. We can get the baseball. I see this call coming through, too. Lakers and the Warriors, 45-35. What, the only difference is
the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Pelicans are tied for the same record. The Lakers, the Kings, and the Warriors are tied for
the Kings
same
have
record.
The outright tiebreaker of both.
Outright tiebreaker. However, the road to it, the Pelicans control who make this playoffs. The Pelicans got the Kings tonight, and they get the Lakers on Sunday. If the Lakers win out,
they
and
nine.
The Kings lose one, they'll be eight. They only need the Lakers to win two, and they only need the Kings to lose one game. I think the Lakers get the tiebreaker over the Warriors.
No, for now. But if the Lakers lose that game to the Warriors in that 10 seed play-in,
you missed my point.
Yeah, but
I said if the Lakers win their last two games, and the Kings lose just one. If the Kings lose to the Pelicans tonight and the Lakers win, and the Lakers will finish eight.
Well, we got the Warriors, and then we got the Grizzlies and the Pelicans.
We got the Grizzlies tonight and the Pelicans. You lost to the Warriors already.
Yeah. So we got the
Grizzlies tonight.
And then the Pelicans. And if the Pelicans need that game, it's going to be tough.
The Pelicans don't need it. They're in. Pelicans are already number seven or
six. So they can't move up no more, no less.
Let me double check this to be sure I'm right. Okay, the Pelicans are number six. They're already in. All right. The Suns could catch them, but I think they have the tiebreaker on the Suns as well, if I remember
correctly. But hold on now. The Pelicans could actually catch the Mavericks.
Yeah.
Because they're two behind. They win those two games, the Mavericks lose two, they end up tied. They could vault to the fifth, I'm just saying.
They can, yes. All right, they can.
So they do have something to play for somewhere.
The Pelicans really just need to win tonight, and they're in at number six, a lock at six.
Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Yeah, Naughty, I really couldn't wait, man.
Everything good, man. What you got, man?
That was me on the line.
Oh, what's happening, Skillaboo?
Everything good. But listen, I hear you and Pearly. I won't get to the thingam right now, but I hear you and Pearly talking about the Lakers, and they are winning and different things they got, right?
Yeah.
But, Naughty, Pearly was trying to use some little history concerning the Lakers when it was just Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We used to get beat bad in the 70s from Boston and Portland, right?
Yeah,
When Magic came and helped out Kareem, that's when we really start flourishing, you know.
If I remember correctly, I think we came eighth in the 78 season, or 77. I think we came eighth.
Yeah, but and another thing is, remember now, Naughty, this is what you got to do.
I'm listening.
I want to show you how basketball go. You remember with Kobe and Shaq Tingham, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember their little show of dynasty, right?
Yeah.
You see, after Shaq gone, right? You see what happened to us?
Hold on. I saw what happened to us, and I also saw us come back and go to three straight finals and win two out of the three.
But we did some things. We brought Paul Gasol.
After Shaq gone.
Correct. And just how we jettisoned Shaq, and we stayed, and we built around a young Kobe, jettisoned LeBron, jettisoned AD, and built around a young Austin Reeves and Hachimura and them.
You can't believe Austin Reeves and Hachimura would be the face of the Lakers. Come on, man. You can't be serious.
Kobe time, right? Now, when Shaq gone, we was like hurting. So what Kobe did was, Kobe cry out and tell, I think it was
you preach into the choir. I witnessed it. I know exactly what happened.
And you see that? We didn't need Gasol. When Gasol come, Kobe had Robin with him.
Yeah.
So, wow. Watch this. He had Robin, but he also had backups. Now, I want to show you something with LeBron.
When I finish, I can show you some of the Lakers, too, and the records in the 70s.
No, watch this. When LeBron came, the pandemic kicked in, so they had to play in the bubble, right?
Right.
So he needed his Robin. But not only his Robin, he needed some...
Now, what happened to the year after the bubble? What happened to the year after the bubble?
Okay, now, watch this. After the bubble, watch what happened. All of his sidekicks them.
Because remember, the first year LeBron got there, we didn't make the playoffs. The second year, we made the playoffs and won the bubble championship.
Anthony Davis was in there.
I don't care. The first year he got there, we didn't make the playoffs.
He didn't make the playoffs. He didn't make the playoff. I agree with you. With
year
that.
Two, we got Davis. We went to the championship and we won in the bubble. Year three,
right. No,
we made
on.
A play
hold
in
on.
And got eliminated.
Hold on,
year
Naughty.
Four. Go ahead.
Naughty, hold on. Listen. Yet when LeBron, the second year, he get Anthony Davis.
Right.
But not only Anthony Davis. He had players, a supporting cast around him, right? With fellas with a defense and fellas with good a shoot.
Right.
And what happened is, after that, they let go the fellas there.
Okay.
The supporting cast. They let him go. Now, the other supporting cast what they bring in wasn't up to par.
And who was agitating for that new supporting cast?
Listen, even if he agitated for it and the front office allowed it, what's that say about the front office?
But it ain't nothing to do
you
with it.
You putting the blame
on
they
had losses by the prima donna and Clutch Sports.
No, I'm just trying to show you, Naughty, all I'm trying to show you is, right, that once you get him and Anthony Davis there, but now if the supporting cast ain't playing their role, you can't blame it on LeBron and you can't blame it on Anthony Davis.
Stop.
No one Laker win a championship
exactly.
by himself.
No, that's fine. I hear what you two LeBron apologists are saying.
I'm not being a LeBron apologist.
But
I'm
just let me clarify this.
I'm being a realist.
Okay, so
don't call me LeBron apologist.
Allow me to be a realist. Year one.
No, you being a LeBron hater.
No, I'm being a Laker fan.
No, you being a LeBron hater.
No.
See, if you're being a Laker fan, there is something good. There is little with LeBron being in
then
LA.
Allow me to say it.
But you don't say it.
No, allow me to say it. We all agree year one in LeBron's existence in LA, we didn't make the playoffs, correct?
I'm listening.
Skill, are you still there or no?
Yeah.
Year two, we made the bubble championship after we got AD, correct?
Right.
Year three. But play-in game, and we got eliminated. First round.
No, lost hold
the,
on.
We lost the play-in game.
Hold on, Naughty. We got to be fair.
Okay.
Anthony Davis was hurt.
I don't care.
You got to care.
Hold on.
You think if Pau Gasol wasn't hurt, Kobe was going to win the championship?
Hold on. I'm not into what happened to the reason. I'm asking what the record shows.
No. You got to.
I'm asking why.
You asking what the record shows because you have an ulterior motive. So don't do that. Then don't come with your analogy at the end if you ain't looking at the total picture.
So don't downplay. Now all of a sudden, AD's so important, but when we win in championships, you're downplaying Melo.
Not you.
I'm just saying in general.
Ain't nobody downplaying AD because the world knows without AD, we couldn't win.
Back to what I said.
Okay.
Year one, no playoffs. Year two, bubble championship. Year three, play-in game, correct?
Go ahead.
We got beat.
Go ahead.
Year four, if I'm not mistaken, we didn't even make the playoffs. Last year, 9th seed made the run to the Western Conference Finals. Year six, back in the play-in game. So 3 out of the 6 years, we in a play-in game. 2 of the 6 years, we didn't even make the playoffs.
Okay.
So don't do like he's done some wonder in LA.
So compared to when
there was downtimes with other people.
But you're still taking out. So when Magic and got hurt against Boston and Kareem couldn't take the Lakers, you count that like that too? Or you look
Magic,
like,
hold on,
so
Magic
we don't look at what
Byron's
happened. We just know we get beat.
Hold on, stop.
Then Byron
Scott
and Magic, we just know we get beat then.
Pearly,
so you don't put the caveat that Magic got
Pearly,
hurt.
Pearly, how many times do I say, and I've said on this show, that is one of the most unfair series you'll ever see. The Lakers in that championship won every playoff game, and in the practice before the finals, Magic Johnson, Byron Scott pull hamstrings, and they get swept by the Pistons. That was nowhere near that top Laker team that could have beat the Pistons again.
No, but
we never saw
naughty,
it. Naughty.
So without AD,
naughty.
That was nowhere near
stop.
That Laker team
my
that won the championship.
My point is, though, let me finish. Regardless of the injuries, when you look up in the annals of sports history, it just shows the Pistons swept the Lakers 4-0. Now, us basketball purists will get into the minutiae of it all as to why.
Naughty.
But right now,
naughty.
In his 6 years in L.A., one championship, three bubble play-ins, where we went home once, went to the Western Conference Final, the other one remains to be seen. Two times we didn't make
but
the playoffs.
But shouldn't we, as talks, shouldn't we be getting into the minutiae of why you didn't win it?
Naughty.
Isn't that what you just said?
Yeah.
So your argument does not hold.
You
got to look at the total picture.
Okay, and if you look at the total picture, exactly since we get into
naughty.
The minutiae.
So
hold on. Exactly like what I said, which you can testify to, because I said it when we was down the road elsewhere on a Sunday, because we only been here 2 years, and he been here 6. And I got the money on it.
You keep hopping on what you say. I'm not running away from that.
I said this was going to be, for Lakers standards, a failure. His existence in LA. We was going to have no money at the end, no draft picks, and he's going to be in a problem. And he's heading right for that.
Naughty. So,
you know, and Skippy, I can say I told you also.
Naughty, hold on.
So what does that change?
Nothing.
He's still sucking. He's still in purgatory.
You're talking about the sweep and piston sweep Lakers?
Correct.
Okay. That ain't the first time.
I'm not saying it was the first time.
But
you missed my point.
You remember the Texas sweepers too.
Hold on. You missing my point.
With a full team.
Hold on, Scully. Understand my point that I was making.
What's
I
that?
Never said the Lakers were never swept. I never said that.
So I know you ain't say that, but
so by you bringing that point up, I know we were swept in 83 by the 76ers.
Your point is you're blaming LeBron on everything bad about the Lakers. It's all because of him. We're at where we are today.
I am saying that LeBron tenure in LA was going to be mediocre or mediocre at best or a failure. Well, look at it now. It's mediocre at best, borderline failure.
No, but the record says puts us at the top of how many championships the Lakers get. You could call it bubble, rubble, or tubble. It's still a championship. And I don't know why we run a bubble. The only difference, because no fans that determines whether you win. You're playing the same players.
All right.
So let's don't do that.
What about
if you're going to argue like that, then Boston got more records than us. That's what you want to say?
I would say that.
No.
Yeah.
No, because that don't.
Now, you can take it any which way you can take it.
No, because we're arguing bubble, but 50 years from now, you know, I even remember there's a bubble. All I can say, the Lakers get 30 some championships.
But he's got one in 6 years.
It doesn't matter. Give me one.
For the magnitude of the
Lakers,
and the greatness
got 17.
He was supposed to bring to this team, one is a failure.
Hey, but.
Let me ask you this question now. You're saying that we should gut the team, and how long you going to be patient with this team? A new gut team. I mean, how long you can give them before you start cussing them and calling them dirty names?
Pearly, you have to give, if you're going to commit to a rebuild, you got to give them patience 2-3 years.
Okay, so after 3 years, your patience gone.
I
just want to put you on the record because I want you to say I told you so.
I'm thinking, like I told you so, but that's fine. I want that. I want you to have that feeling too. Because don't let me forget. I said the Super Bowl was gonna play out the same way too. But leave Naughty Damas alone. Don't talk about my streak.
You also said that the Yankees were gonna win the World Series last year.
Said the Dodgers was gonna.
No, but I don't brag about my streak.
You say it every
I don't have a streak. You bragging about your streak, but you're picking
wish
them two
you
streaks.
Had a streak.
Well, I do, but I don't.
One streak you got.
I don't.
1971 Dolphins. That's the only damn streak you got.
Nobody else got that streak. Nobody
else. Streak in your underwear. That's
nobody else got that streak.
Hey, Naughty.
Nobody else got that.
Naughty.
Go ahead.
Let me finish. There's some little clarity on. Now, the other thing you all was talking about was concerning the three-way tie.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Here it is now, right? Lakers in 10th. Right?
No, Lakers in ninth.
Lakers in 10th.
Actually, the Lakers are tied for 8th.
No, listen, Pearly. Lakers in 10th, Warriors in 9th, and Thingamin.
All them got the same record.
Right,
all
they get the same record, but watch this. Thingam beat
Lakers, got Lakers the tiebreaker
ain't
win
none
with
Sacramento. Sacramento get more wins on the Warriors.
We said
the Warriors
a tiebreaker.
Get more wins on us.
No, we got more on the Warriors.
Listen to what I talk about.
We own the tiebreaker on the Warriors.
No.
Skella, I'm trying to tell you.
You know when the tiebreaker would have been? The tiebreaker would have been if Anthony Davis had played yesterday. I don't know why he ain't played.
Skella, let me break it down to
if
you.
If he did play and we win, then we'll have a better record than Warriors.
Let me explain how this works. So, you partially right if it was two teams tied. But if you go and you have three teams tied, you can't go head-to-head no more. You got to go conference record.
Listen.
So the Kings got a better conference record.
Actually, the Kings got a record against the Lakers and a better
the
record against the Warriors.
The Kings get a better
so
conference record than the Lakers, right?
If
and the Kings get a better conference record and Warriors.
Correct.
What I'm trying to tell you is that Warriors have a better conference record than the Lakers. Right? Now, watch this. If the Lakers win out and both of them lose, then the Lakers get a better record than them. Because they're winning Thingham will be better than their own. Lakers will be a game ahead of them in the win column. So that's when the Lakers will drop the 8th place.
Okay.
If the two of them lose. All they got to do is lose one game. But if the Lakers win out, wow, we will be in 8th place.
And then we will face the Timberwolves in the first round in Minnesota.
No, we ain't gonna face the Timberwolves.
Who we gonna
face?
We
gotta make sure we play the 7 seed and beat that 7 seed. And if we beat the 7 seed, then we'll play OKC.
And that's still ain't no good selection to have right there.
Why? They ain't been a game with us in the regular season.
Buddy, don't worry about that. That team is young and talented and ready to go.
Yes, I know that. But hey, Naughty, you gotta learn how basketball goes, you know. Yeah.
Don't let your heart cross your head. Don't say the right thing.
No, hold on.
Don't let your heart cross your head. Say the wrong thing. We own OKC all season.
And how many times you seen the team own them in the regular season, go to the playoffs, and different story?
Let me
bring up one that comes to mind recently.
Don't let your heart get
Houston Rockets and Utah Jazz. Remember Mario Eli from the caller?
Yeah, but there's also teams that have swept and continue sweeping. So you could pick out one or two like that has happened.
I'll tell you this right now. They face the Nuggets or the Timberwolves, any combination.
Hey,
first round, they gone.
Naughty, I could give you three games.
Last year.
I could give you three games, Naughty. What in
and maybe
Buck down. Whatever, better record than us. I could give you three games.
Broom out, right? When they buck down, right? Go ahead.
Naughty, I could give you three games. Whatever, better record than us right now. And if we buck up to them, we will beat them.
Who?
One, listen. One, OKC. Two, Timberwolves. Timberwolves. And the next one is Pelicans. Them same three games. If we play them in the playoffs,
I give you the Pelicans right now. I give you the jury is still out on OKC, and I give you heck no to the Timberwolves. Timberwolves
listen to
is the best squad.
Beat the Timberwolves three times, Naughty.
You ain't listening to that.
Yeah.
Naughty, what you dealing
and
with?
The Timberwolves
hey,
have not
Naughty,
played great basketball since Cat
the
gone
The game
out.
What the Timberwolves beat us with, Anthony Davis ain't playing that game.
Yeah, and the games that you beat the Timberwolves, Cat Thingham didn't play in two of them games either, called Anthony Towns.
And he's still not there for the players, so they have a problem. The Timberwolves scrapping.
But Burley, I don't think they should be a problem. They're 55-25. I don't see them scrapping. I don't see them scrapping,
though. What are their last record in the last 25 games?
Well, you could look that up. But I wouldn't call 55-25 one game out of the top seed scrapping.
But this is the team that was way out front. And that's
yeah,
front.
But they've maintained. Let's be honest.
They were the number one team by a plenty early in the year.
Correct.
And since Cat went down, they've been run down and been fighting for first. When they were almost all out winning almost a month ago, had the record to clinch it.
Well, I got another call coming, so let me pull up Minnesota in a second. But Skiller, just for your sake, Kareem got in 75. They went 40-42 in 75. He came midway through 75. 76-77, they went 53-29. 77-78, they went 45-37. 78-79, 47-35. And they made the playoffs every year. Winning percentage of 646, 549, 573. Then, of course, 1979 and 80, that changed things inevitably. 60-22.
That's when Magic
then 54-28, 57-25. Right, but listen to all of that. Listen, even to 91-92, when we was bad, 43-39. 92-93 when Magic announced the thing on 39-43. So you look at the legacy and you look at my point about Laker basketball. Perennially, we are winners with top seeds going in.
Where were they top seeds?
Okay.
Them 43 and some were not top seeds.
No. I'm not talking about the 39-43. I'm talking about 58-24, 63-19, 57-25, 62-20, 65-72, 62-20, 62-20.
That's when the Lakers had the team.
And that's in the 80s.
That's when the 90s, superstars and the supporting guys.
Don't say when Kareem got there, the Lakers was dead for years, because the 3 years he got there before Magic. 3.5 years he got there before Magic, they were winning teams and they made the playoffs.
What record? Where did they finish? 42nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th. They finished, I think, 8th, 6th, 7th, or 8th in those records.
Well, they don't have the seed now. I'll pull up the seed, but I'm telling you the records right now. 75, 76, he got there midway through.
We all agree, at least you and I agree, that LeBron should be gone. I agree with that. I right now would like to see the Lakers trade LeBron to Cleveland, let him go play with Bronny over there, trade AD, pick up some draft picks, pick up some cap space. Get rid of some of them has-been players
all right,
and dig it up. But I'm just asking you, because I want on the record, how many years you can give the Lakers to be a donkey non-playoff lotto.
Well, I give him 6 years because he's a donkey.
Six years?
Hold on, you gave LeBron six years?
No, 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 but at least we were, even though we had the play-in, we had playoffs. At least you can say the Lakers in the playoffs.
But
you
two times we didn't make the playoffs either.
It doesn't matter. Four we did. So you can tell me for 6 years you
Burley.
Hold on.
Now you've done that one and done elimination after the championship playoff run.
It doesn't matter to me. It was a playoff game.
Okay.
You gonna tell me you prefer to relax for 6 years without a playoff play? 6 years?
Listen,
you gotta be kidding me.
I said we gave LeBron 6 years, right? You may as well.
That is my question to you. You prepared to wait 6 years for a playoff play? You prepared to wait? Let's say it all happens today. 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. You prepared to wait till 2031? To see the Lakers in the playoffs? I doubt
No, not in the playoffs. You said how long will I give them? I said I could give them 6 years. That don't mean without being in the playoffs. That means match maturing and getting improving over the 6 years.
All right, let me ask you a question. How long you can give the Lakers being on a playoff drought and how long you can give them and being on a championship drought?
3 years for the playoffs, 4 to 5 for the championship because you got to put it together.
So you're saying you prepared to win 2030 for a Lakers championship?
Pearly, if you say got the Lakers, you know full well. If you say got the Lakers, you know full well it can take a year or two to even.
Listen to me. I am a fan. It don't matter to me. I actually, two teams above. The Lakers is my number three team. Dodgers, Dolphins, Lakers. Let's get that right.
Right. All so right. At the end
LSU,
of the day.
If Angel is saying LSU, she might have pulled up the number three.
At the end of the day.
The bottom line is.
You got to give them time. If it's a case of we rebuilding and I'm watching them mature and make improvements and get to the playoffs and go on.
But there's no guarantee that can
happen. If it's a straight drought, then 3 years.
Ain't no guarantee you can see that maturity either. There's no guarantee.
Ain't no guarantee I can see anything with this clown here doing food.
The point is, this one is way out. This is about finish.
Talking heads. Talking heads. All right. And anyway.
I think we should call ESPN, you know.
Anyway, we got Rich Eisen taking us home. So let's get to the break, Mr. Producer, and that'll give us the right amount of time for Rich Eisen to get us home today. And Rich Eisen talking about everything today. He's covering a lot of things.
Yeah. Just know the Dodgers can beat the Padres tonight. That's all.
All right. So we want you to have a great weekend, man. Be safe out there. Be good. And if you can't be good at it. We'll see you back here Monday. For Talking Heads, all right? And, of course, Rich Eisen taking us home fully loaded on the flip side. Talking a possible Tom Brady return.
I saw that interview, and he actually said I would be open to it.
Yep.
As an owner playing.
I'm talking about Dak Tua, the Knicks, the Mavericks, and the Masters. That's all coming up on the flip side of the break, taking into the weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on Talking Heads.
Tiger made the cut.
Are you ready for the best of the best? Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group up for sound promotion and Guardian Radio presents the best of the best Reconscript Explosion Concert. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Super Club Breeze's grounds ignite with Bahamian Talent featuring KB, Gino D, Funky D, Veronica Bishop, The Brylanders, Avi, Elon Moxie, and Shine 242.
They know if you ain't waiting.
Join the Falcons, Iron Store, Dovi Pierre, Johnny Cake, Mama D, Nishi LS, Pat Ramis, DBS, and Shad Colley and the VIPs for an electrifying night of music and culture. Tickets are flying, so grab yours now. Available online at BahamasEtickets.com or swing by the Beauty Shack on Soldier Road and Carmichael Road. This is the event of the year. The best of the best rake and scrape explosion at Breezes Resorts. Gates open at 6 p.m. Don't miss out on the Bahamian Magic.
Maybe it's time to explore your options. There's no harm in reviewing your mortgage arrangement and considering a better deal. CIBC Caribbean can help you narrow your search and decide. Switch your mortgage to CIBC Caribbean and enjoy a special interest rate and help towards your switching cost. Visit cibcfcib.com/inspired home for more information. Conditions apply.
CIBC, ambitions made real. The excitement, the fierce competition, the entertainment. On May 4th and 5th, our Bahamian athletes will compete with hundreds of the best from around the world to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics.
Gardner takes the title.
Come witness history as our athletes chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the 2024 World Athletic Relays. May 4th and 5th at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office.
Made exactly the way they should be by someone with chicken in their name. The new Kentucky Chicken Sandwiches feature a quarter pound of all-white meat, triple-breaded, spicy chicken breast filet on a freshly toasted buttery brioche bun. With your choice of lettuce, tomato, bacon, thick-cut pickles, and the perfect amount of Colonel's real mayo or spicy sauce, every chicken sandwich is freshly prepared and piping hot. Kentucky Fried Chicken Sandwiches, the only chicken sandwiches that are finger-licking good.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You get cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start. From the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Whether you like it hot or you enjoy being original, KFC has the only chicken sandwiches with attitude, featuring 100% extra large white meat chicken fillets for 100% flavor. Enjoy the famous flavor of KFC 11 herbs and spices in the KFC Original Recipe Burger, or take the heat up a notch with a spicy fillet with our KFC Kentucky Deluxe Sandwich. And for a limited time, enjoy your favorite sandwich with fries for only $7. That's how it's done. KFC Nassau, it's finger-licking good.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
What?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, you've got the floor. What do you have over there?
All right. Hey, guys, what's up? Happy Friday.
Same to you. Same to you.
Shout out to T. Rowe Price.
Hey, shout out to T. Rowe Price. Shout out to the YouTubers. What's up? All right, let's do it. NFL Draft, 2 weeks.
Yes.
All right. What's more likely, the top five teams as they currently are keep their picks, or both the Cardinals and Chargers trade down?
I will say the order stays. The order stays like before.
Oh, top five, no movement.
That is more likely than the Cardinals and Chargers trading out. Mm. Let's just say the Cardinals trade out, right? That's for a fourth quarterback to be taken in a row.
Right. That's right? McCarthy.
Correct.
Or
which means the Chargers sit there and they're like, oh, so we've got the first pick in the draft for somebody who's not a quarterback. They'll use it. They'll use it. They'll take Marvin Harrison Jr. and run.
Ooh.
I think. They don't need to trade out and get more draft choices. They need somebody.
They also need players.
They also need a wide receiver, don't you think? And let's take the top one. They got Marvin Harrison Jr. dropping their lap after letting Mike Williams walk and willingly trading away Keenan Allen. And they, I would be surprised. And if the, you know, so the Cardinals trading out would be the one first. That would be for quarterback, which means the Chargers stay put. So it's more likely that everybody stays put, that the Vikings decide it's too far to come up from 11 and they'll just stay put. And then maybe the Chargers wind up trading out. So somebody could beat the Giants for J.J. McCarthy.
So Richard's saying Quentin Johnson and Marvin Harrison on the same squad?
Ooh, that's what I'm saying.
Ooh, nice some weapons. That's some nice weapons for Herbie.
So it's more likely that everybody stays put than both the Cardinals and Chargers trade out. I don't know why, if the Cardinals trade out, why the Chargers then would.
All right.
Unless somebody goes Godfather offer for Marvin. But I don't see that as likely. What else, Chris?
Okay. Another NFL draft one here. How about this? What's more likely? There are more quarterbacks taken in the top 10 or tackles and wide receivers combined in the top 10. What's the higher number? Quarterbacks in the top 10, tackles and wide receivers combined top 10.
I'll give you.
Don't say push.
I have to. I think there's four quarterbacks in the top 10.
That's not
the
option. The option is
and three receivers go in the top 10 and Joe Alt goes.
And tackles.
Then I will say tackles and receivers in the top 10.
You don't see four quarterbacks in the top 10. For
I think we will, but, so I think it's going to wind up even.
I see five.
I think
tackles.
I see
two defenders.
I see
so two defensive players go in the top 10. If it's four and
no,
four,
I see Brock Bowers, mm-hmm. Dallas Turner,
Brock Bowers,
and then four and four.
I see.
That's my right now prediction 13 days before the draft. Brock Bowers, 10. Dallas Turner, 8 to Atlanta. And the rest are receivers and tackles and quarterbacks. That's the way I see the top 10 going.
Interesting.
The Jets better take Brock Bowers, man. Take him.
A tackle. You need to protect Rodgers.
We got his because Dallas went all in.
Can't have enough linemen.
I know, and we got the Jets hit the line in free agency to free up their ability to take whoever they want in the 10th overall pick. So there's that. Mm. Give Rodgers Brock Bowers. What else, Chris?
All right.
By the way, he can block too, right? You've seen Georgia football. That's not his forte.
Not his forte.
But guess what? If he's like the next Kittle can pancake.
That's true.
What else?
How about this one? Mm-hmm. We heard from Tom Brady. We heard who Tom Brady likes to win a Super Bowl. What's more likely to happen first? Tom Brady throws another NFL pass in any game.
And then whatever else you're about to say.
Or Josh Allen throws a pass in the Super Bowl.
Ooh, wee.
Josh Allen throws a pass in the Super Bowl. What's the matter with you? What are you talking about? What is the likelihood of Tom Brady throwing another pass in the NFL right now? Dude, get out of
here. He almost played for the 49ers last year.
I know you like ripping on the Bills. I know you like to think that the Bills are just going to rip out the hearts of everybody from Western New York again. I know you think that the Bills, because of what they've done at the receiver position and how they did all of these cap hits right now, that the window of opportunity is closed for Josh Allen as if Josh is 40 years old himself. Get out of here with that noise. I believe, as I said earlier, and I'll repeat here for the crowd that is just surfing in for what's more likely. I think Tom's playing four-dimensional chess. Hey, listen.
Hey.
You guys in the NFL that think I can't come back and try and beat you, and you want me to show up? Guess how you take my piece off the chessboard? By making me a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. So why don't you do that? Because that's what I'm really looking for. So I can do that and then go in the Fox booth. Like, I'm going to be paid a mint for that. Like, you think he wants to get hit? No, sir.
Yeah, but is Josh Allen going to make a Super Bowl?
No, okay, very good.
Because
see, he just always go back to that default. Very nice. Okay.
Chances are
you could say that for the rest of his career, he will not make a Super Bowl. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying a lot of great players never play in the Super Bowl.
I understand that, Chris.
Yeah, like Dak Prescott.
And I don't think Josh Allen's going to be one of those players.
Speaking of Dak Prescott.
Oh, nice segue.
Which quarterback is more likely to be in a make or break season in 2024? Dak or Tua?
So, what do you mean?
Make or break season.
Meaning what?
Make or break.
What's the break?
The break is
they're not with the team anymore?
You're gone from the team.
Maybe.
then I'll go with the guy who's going into his final year of his contract with the Dallas Cowboys. They're going all in on him. I don't know if you're aware.
All in.
Tua's not going anywhere. Tua's the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins.
Until when?
For a while. For a good long while. You heard what Teron Armstead.
A good long while.
Did you not hear what Teron Armstead said on Thursday? Team likes him. Team believes in him. The coach loves him. Yeah. What are they going to go? What are they going to go back and they're going to go free agent and pay somebody more than what Tua wants right now?
Go back in the draft.
Go back in the draft.
Oh, man. Arch Manning might look great in Miami.
Oh, God. Guy hasn't even played it down in Texas yet.
They want to make it competitive.
I like when he boxes himself in a what's more likely or an overreaction money. He just starts trying to throw some darts to get to find the daylight to get out of it. Dak Prescott is legitimately in a make or break season as we are conversing right now. Okay? This guy has no more time left on his contract, and the Dallas Cowboys' sense of all in is to make sure that he feels the pressure with the roster that they have. And the roster that they have, you know what? I mean, honestly, they've gone all in on supplementing this roster. There it is. There's the NFL.com free agency tracker.
How is that the only people you
signed? People. Five of them, and four of them re-signed.
You have no defense.
Eric Kendricks
that.
Is the only newcomer.
Oh, my God.
That's right. So the tote board of the Jerry.
See, disrespect.
It's just five
is
still.
Cause me to curse into this mic.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
There's less pie.
Don't do it. There's so much less.
Chris.
All right, a couple more. Who's more likely to make a sneak NBA here to make a sneaky run of the conference finals?
Ooh.
Knicks or Mavericks?
Well, right now it won't be the Mavs.
Why is that? Because the Clippers are playing him?
Because there's a man named Kawhi Leonard.
You know where I'm going
with
this.
Is Kawhi Leonard actually playing?
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Listen, despite what I heard from my friends on the set at NBA on TNT, I think the Knicks can beat the Pacers, although Tyrese Halliburton scares me.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.